My name is Bailey Grippenstraw. I am 21 years old. Today is May 19th, 2018, and I'm speaking with my mom. We are recording this interview in San Francisco, California. I'm here for my brother's graduation and conducting this interview. Do you have my full permission to post this interview on the National Archives?
Yes, you do.
And it's okay that I'm recording you?
Yes, it is.
Can you state your full name, please?
Suzanne Brucina Grippenstraw.
Okay, first question. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Yes, so I had a wonderful childhood, actually. I grew up in southern Arizona in a very small town, which was a mining town. It was Bisbee, and we used to say that all roads lead to Bisbee instead of Rome. We thought we were a great little town. There was an old historic part of town that had been there in the early 1800s for the copper industry, copper, gold, silver, and my family lived on the other side of this historic area in the newer part of Bisbee. And I lived there with my mom and dad and my brother and sister. And I had kind of a wild childhood. We lived on the edge of town, and it was a desert area. Even though we were at a high elevation, about 5,200 feet, it was still desert and arid. And living on the edge of town, we could just run and play outside. And I spent the majority of my childhood outside, building forts and making stuff. And we'd break the mesquite pods into little dishes and grind them into flour, and made little houses out of rock, and it was really fun, just wild and wonderful. And then during the summers, we would go swimming every single day. My mom would take my brother and sister and I to a pool. It was a country club pool, but it was a kind of a public pool. And we swam every day, and we had big monsoons at that time. It seems like the weather's changed there, but during my childhood, late afternoons, the big clouds would come in, big thunderstorms, and so we'd swim until the lifeguards told us to get out of the pool. Then we'd hang out underneath the cypress trees and eat popsicles, and my mom would be sitting with all her other moms and girlfriends talking, and we'd wait and see if it was going to be a big storm or a little storm. And if it was a big storm, mom would pack us up and we'd head home. And if it was a little storm, we'd usually just wait it out, lay on the hot cement with our friends, play cards, watch the lightning and thunder, and, you know, hope it blew over. Everything smelled great in the desert in the summer when it rained. It was just absolutely wonderful. If it rained too hard, if it was too big of a storm, mom would take us home and then we'd have to do chores. So that was, you know, the double bummer about it. but I had a really good childhood. I don't know what I was like as a child. My mom said I was easier than my brother, who's 2 years older. He had asthma, and he was a baby that never slept. And so when I came along, I think I'm a great sleeper, and, you know, just wasn't as active as my brother. So I think I was kind of an easy, happy kid for the most part. I was also the middle child, and I think I hold true to the middle child reputation of being the diplomat, the ambassador, the one that tries to make things better in their family.
Good. Can you tell me a little bit about your grandparents or your great-grandparents?
I did not know my great-grandparents, but I knew three of my four grandparents. My mom's mom died when my mom was 20 from breast cancer, but I knew her father, Grandpa Schuster, and he was the sweetest man. He was balded when all my life that I knew him, and he used to play this game all the time where he'd pretend he was couldn't see me and my brother on the couch, and he would sit on our legs until we squealed and, you know, said, "Grandpa, we're sitting here. You can't sit down." So it was a game we played on a regular basis. He was a very, very sweet man. My mom had a a really good relationship with her parents, and she talks about my grandpa Schuster, you know, talks about him growing up. And he used to take them to the movies every Sunday. So really just a wonderful person. And my dad's parents, I knew both well because they were alive for a long time. My grandmother didn't die until well into her 90s. And my grandpa died, I think he was 92. So we had a nice time with them. I had grandparents into my 40s, which is pretty amazing. They were wonderful people, and they were loving grandparents. They sent cards on Valentine's Day and birthdays. They traveled from Washington State down to Arizona for Christmas every year, every other year. And in their later years, they became snowbirds and came down to Arizona where it was warmer and spent the winters there. So I got to see them a lot. My grandfather was a fire chief, and he ended up being a fire chief for Hanford Nuclear Site in Washington State. And my grandmother was a school teacher, and she taught, I think she taught primarily third, fourth, fifth. And she had that school teacher's handwriting, because she taught students cursive. She had the most beautiful writing well into her, well, actually always, late years. It was just beautiful. She did the crossword puzzle. She knit sweaters for me and my brother when we were little. And then when I was an adult or a young girl and then an adult, she taught me how to knit. And I actually have all her knitting needles, and I have them in boxes that were her boxes, and they have her handwriting on the side that says the size of the needles. And it's just a treasure for me. I feel very fortunate to have had such loving grandparents, really just aware of us, willing to just spend this simple time with us, quiet, easy time. You know, nothing, it wasn't a circus. It was just the really nice time in life. They'd take us to the swimming pool. We'd sit outside. My grandpa always offered us a pop, because he grew up in the Midwest. I remember one time when we went to visit them up in Mesa, Arizona, when they were snowbirds, and my brother and sister and I, they took us for ice cream. And we had double scoops from Smitty's, which is a grocery store, and we came outside with our double scoops. And my brother stepped off the curb and dropped the top scoop of his ice cream onto the ground. And then we were laughing so hard that then I dropped my ice cream cone, and then my sister dropped her ice cream cone. So none of us had an ice cream cone. That was really funny. My grandpa was such a good sport. He just laughed and laughed, and then took us back in for a single scoop of ice cream that we could handle. My grandpa's name was Leonard, and my grandma was very proper, prim and proper. And one thing, though, she called him Lenny Baby, and we all just thought that was so funny. And in their late years, they had to be, my grandpa had Alzheimer's, and so they were in assisted living. And he would go downstairs to breakfast and sit at the same table, wait for my grandma to come down. And then when he left, he'd always steal a banana or two. And of course, they were out there for the people who lived there to take. But my grandpa thought that maybe he was stealing the banana. And that gave him great joy. it was just like him to do that. And he always had candy wrappers, hard candy in his pockets. And, you know, we'd see him popping hard candy all day long, which was super charming. So, good grandparents.
That's awesome. Are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think have shaped you for who you are today?
Moments or memories?
Yeah.
Well, I think it all goes together to make you who you are. Definitely my parents were 100% the biggest influence on my life. I would say my mother had the greatest influence on making me who I am. Negative events or positive ones? I think being loved as a child is a profound thing that forms who you are. I had a really kind and stable childhood where I could expect things to be as they were, and that was great, just a great way to grow up, great soil to grow in. My mother had a great capacity for love, and at all times she made sure we knew we were loved, even if we were in trouble. And she also, you know, she got things done, and she kept us moving forward at all times. You know, she was loving, but she wasn't a pushover at any point. So I think that all just goes together to make me who I was.
Tell me about your siblings. Were you close to them?
Oh, that's a great question. My brother and my sister and I were adopted, and we look very different from each other. And I would say that we are actually very different people. But when you grow up in a house together, that binds you, you know, all the shared experiences and the love of your parents, you know, knit us together to one. My brother's 2 years older, and he is just so bright, and he was so bright from the very beginning. I remember one time we were looking at photographs, and he must have been about six. And I remember this story from later too, but he was looking at photographs, and he saw that all the presents under the tree were wrapped, but that my dad and my grandpa Schuster and my uncle Greg were under the tree playing with his train set. And so he looked at that and he said, "Hey, how come they're playing with my train set? Because we haven't opened my presents, so Santa hadn't been here yet." So he could put together the timeline at a very young age, like, they just shouldn't have that train set yet because the presents aren't open. So that was just Steve. He could shake any package and tell you what was inside. So we always wondered how he actually knew that. So he was bright. I don't know that we were particularly close as children. We seemed to sort of value different things, but we had fun and, yeah. But I wouldn't call us close. I have a younger sister named Elizabeth. She's 5 years younger. And I remember the day that we got her because she was adopted, brought her home. And it was fun because I was old enough to know, like, we didn't have a baby. And then, boom, we had a baby. We had a baby sister. So that was pretty remarkable. And my brother and I really loved her and took care of her. In the ways that little children do. My sister is a sweetie, and she, from a very early age, liked to cook and was always mixing together the strangest things. And she had a little table in her bedroom and a little cook set in there. And I would come in and we'd play restaurant, or, you know, we'd play school, or we'd play let's make dinner or tea parties or whatever. And I remember very distinctly one time of her mixing together Lucky Charms and ketchup. Mm-hmm. And stirring it. And it was just Elizabeth. She could always think of something to put together and try out. She still loves to cook. Being girls, being sisters, we played a lot together when we were little, even though she was younger than me. It's good. My brother and sister and I are closer now than we have been. My brother lives far away. It feels like he lives in Europe, so I don't get to see him on a regular basis. But my sister and I text almost every day, or call about once a week.
Mm-hmm. What was the worst thing you did as a kid?
Oh my gosh. It's really hard to pick out the worst, isn't it? But I do have one memorable that I still have a lot of shame about. Actually, I have a couple, but this one I don't know if you know about. So my dad worked at a bank in downtown Bisbee, in Old Bisbee, and my mom didn't work when we were children, but she was involved in a lot of organizations, and so she'd be gone for this and that. And she also played bridge. That was in the era where women played bridge. And so she was gone for something, and my brother and I had a babysitter, and I guess my little sister, and she was too little at that time. So we had a babysitter who was a young woman, teenage girl probably, and my brother and I would go out into the desert behind our house and play. And one time I don't know what we were playing, house or something, and my brother brought matches. And he, you know, we start a little fire to cook something or whatever. Well, this spread into the grasses, and pretty soon there was a brush fire behind our house. And, you know, we tried putting it out, throwing dirt on it, but it just got away from us. And this old vacant field started on fire. And so we did not know what to do, but there was a lot of smoke. It was obvious that it was burning. So we ran as fast as we could home, slid into the house, the babysitter. And she said, "What you been doing?" We said, "Oh, nothing." And we just kind of, you know, played it low and didn't confess to what we'd done. And the fire trucks, we could hear them. They were already on their way. So the fire trucks put the fire out and everything was fine. And we were terrified. And that seemed like the end of it. And then that night, my dad came home from work and he said, "Oh, how was your day?" And we said, "Fine, fine. It was really good. It was fine." And he said, "What'd you do today?" "Oh, nothing, nothing. We just played. We were, you know, just hanging out." And then he says, "Oh, well, I had a good day." And he said, "And then, oh, I had a little visit also to the bank. Had a visitor come in to talk to me. It was the fire chief, the fire department chief." And that was enough to break our resolve, and guilt set in, and we just sobbed and sobbed and told him we were sorry. And so anyway, I still have a little ugly feeling in my stomach when I think about that one. I also have one other one that I remember from childhood. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Or maybe later.
Maybe later.
Okay.
What jobs did you have when you were a teenager? What did you do with the money you earned?
I was a lifeguard, and this was a great job. I taught swimming lessons in the morning, and so, you know, swam from, well, when I got there, I swam a mile every day to keep my strength up and make sure I was a good, strong swimmer. And then we'd teach swimming lessons from 9 to about 11:30. And then I'd go home for lunch because my house was close enough to the pool in Nogales. I'd go home and I could eat absolutely anything because I had swam all morning. And then we'd go back and we'd open up the pool for just the general swim. And it was wonderful. It was a great way to make a good wage as a young person. I saved my money to go to Europe. Saved it up to go to Europe my junior year. And just to have money in the bank account for things that I wanted to do. But mostly it was the goal of being able to pay half of my Europe trip my junior year. I also worked in an insurance office with my mom, just doing filing and stuff. And then I think it must have been my senior year. I thought I wanted to go into law. And so I worked for the county and city attorney's office. And this was amazing. I started drinking coffee there. I don't know why. It was the only thing to have, I guess. And it had a huge effect on me. It seemed like they were never in court. The lawyers were mostly just at their desk talking on the phone, you know, answering questions. It did not look like an exciting and intellectual life that I thought it was going to be. It looked pretty mundane, actually. There was one whole room for a divorce case. like with 8 file cabinets just on one case. And I thought, okay, maybe this isn't for me. But it was fascinating working for the city and county attorney. So good jobs.
Dang. What is your favorite memory of me as a child?
Oh, I have so many memories of you that I loved. I love that you played outside and you always knew exactly where to go in the yard to roll over the rocks and find earwigs and roly-polies, and you played a lot in the yard. I love seeing you play, sit with the dogs. We had our two dogs, Chica and Lucy, and you always rub their heads and, you know, we'd spend a lot of time with them. You did a lot of adventuring with your friends when you were little. We'd go down to the channel and we'd build things with rocks, and you'd endlessly throw sticks into the water. And I don't know, you're a great kid. You loved your brother, oh my gosh, when you were little, so much. When you were born, actually, Zach came into the room about 20 minutes after you were born, and he was talking, and you turned your head towards him. It was like you zeroed in on that sound immediately. It was just shocking. You're a really nice person as a little guy, and you are now too, but your kindergarten teacher said you were the nicest kid he ever met, and your junior high teacher actually even said she'd give you the keys to her house, that you were the only kid she'd do that to. And I think it just speaks to just like how compassionate you were when you were little. From the very beginning you were. So, oh, and I love that I would tell you not to do something, you'd stomp your foot at me, and I'd say, don't you stomp your foot, and you'd say, I'm not stomping my foot, and you'd be stomping your foot. And the other thing you'd do is that you'd go to bed saying something, and you'd get up in the morning, and you'd just pick up that sentence right where you left off. And you were very determined as a child, and if I'd say no to something, and I'd put that thing up high on the top of the refrigerator, you would just move something over so that you get up there and get the thing. And I thought, if this doesn't drive me crazy as a child in your childhood, it will serve you well as an adult. And I think it has. We did it.